This is NPR's Morning Edition. I'm Bob Edwards. Some of the deepest mines ever dug lie abandoned on a slip of land in Michigan's Upper Peninsula. Once they supported America's Industrial Revolution. Now they're a hazard and are being filled in. But biologists have persuaded some mine owners to stop the backfilling. They've discovered hundreds of thousands of bats hibernating there in winter. In part two of the latest NPR National Geographic Society radio expedition, NPR's Christopher Joyce traveled to the Upper Peninsula, the UP as it's called, to see these new bat sanctuaries.
Place names tell the history of the UP. Mohawk and Menominee, for example. Big mining arrived, and there was diorite and Copper Harbor. And from the old country came places like Toivola and Finlander Bay.
My name is Art Moylanen, born and raised on a farm here about 5 miles from Mass.
Moylanen is 83 years old. His parents immigrated from Finland. His father would ski down to his job in the mines. Art preferred farming and playing the accordion.
When I knew the miners and the lumberjacks, I learned a lot of their words to this music is through the lumberjacks and miners.
Moylanen says there's not much call for songs from Finland anymore. Young people prefer rock and roll now. The mines are closed. Gone with them, a chunk of American history. And that bothers mining enthusiast Steve Smith.
All the artifacts are pretty much buried or rotted away. The towns are either burned or hauled away and vandalized and destroyed.
8 years ago, Smith found a way to save the mines, bats. He discovered hundreds of thousands of hibernating bats inside the abandoned mines. Since then, a group called Bat Conservation International, along with the government's Natural Resources Conservation Service, has been keeping some of the mines open.
It's really interesting that it would take something like a little tiny animal to save this entire historical era from destruction, because it would have been lost totally.
BCI regularly sends biologist Dan Taylor up to the UP to find out where the bats are hibernating. Most days you'll find him where we did, surveying a mine, in this case the old Quincy mine. Taylor says bats are valuable. They eat insects. They pollinate plants.
They really are an amazing animal, and one of these little bats will live over 30 years. They really are very actually intelligent little animals. They're very gentle animals. Once you get to know them is to love them.
For bats to use the mines, though, people have to be kept out. For that, BCI has turned to Irv Ryuta. Ryuta builds gates over mine entrances. They're like a big prison window. Rows of bars spaced wide enough to let bats come and go, but keep people out. Ryuta is here at the Old South Lake Mine. The mine entrance is on top of a hill.
Oh, to that birch up there, it's about 300 feet. A little further up from there is an opening.
The hill could be a ski slope, except it's all loose rock, wet, sharp, and slippery.
We're going to slide our equipment up the rock pile. To that site up there, and then we're going to put the bat grate in place. But to get up there is the big thing.
Ryuta has a plaid-shirted crew of 3 men. They hoist their equipment onto a rusting snowmobile sled. It's hard work, but clearly fun, because it's just a little crazy.
I'm going to go up there with the thing and the cable.
The idea is to hang a pulley on a tree at the top.
Bring that cable down here and run up again.
Run a cable from the sled up the hill and through the pulley.
Grab the end of it.
And then run the cable back down to Ryuta's pickup truck. The truck pulls the sled up the hill. Ryuta and Taylor grab the sled and help.
You got it? Boy, it's quite a climb.
You ready, Irv?
Yeah.
The truck pulls.
Yeah, start pulling.
The sled groans up the hill a few yards, then the truck spins in a rut. I climb the hill to watch. Below, there's a small stream. Evergreens and birch trees stretch to the horizon. There's no sign of people, except for these five men hauling 350 pounds of steel up a rock pile.
Rock.
The cable holds.
Tell them to hold up, Chase.
Hold it up.
Yeehaw!
The sled makes the top.
No, he can let go of that. It's not going to go downhill anymore.
But there's still 10 yards to go to flat ground.
One, two, three.
Beyond a pile of rubble, we discover a cavern. In one wall, there's a hole about the size of a garbage can cover. That's the way into the mine, where Ryuta will put the gate.
Right now, I'm going to chisel the opening of this hole.
As Ryuta chisels, we squeeze by and down into the mine for one last bat survey. Biologists Cheryl DuCommon and Dan Taylor suspect that this mine is a favorite hibernating spot. We switch on our headlamps and an electronic bat detector.
It really drops off fairly steep, so probably hug a wall.
The shaft turns and twists, flattens out, and then we're in a marvelous cavern.
We just had a bat fly by, and that's the echolocation that they give. A bat detector is a device that we use to help us. All it does is it takes the echolocation call of the bat, and it puts it down into an audible range.
We cast our lights upwards, onto the cavern wall.
This is just amazing to me, because all of the mines that you go into and survey and look at, you're looking for that mother load of bats, and here it is. Thousands upon thousands of bats as far as your eye can see.
They're mostly little browns, a few big browns. They hang from the ceiling in clusters like furry grapes. DuCommon starts a rough count of the bats, but they've already sensed our presence.
If you look at like this little guy right here, starting to shuffle around a little bit. They're starting to come out of their torpor.
They're waking up, peeling themselves off the ceiling and flying around us. Every spring, this process repeats itself. A slow awakening, the stretching of wings, then out of the entrance in search of insects for breakfast. The common is happy to play midwife to this annual rebirth.
The bats won't survive unless they have a place to hibernate. So these mines enabled larger populations of bats to occur throughout this entire area. They'd either have to find some other place to hibernate, or they just wouldn't exist.
Here, by chance, industry has served nature. That's the story this team wants people to know. That bats and old mines are worth saving.
La, 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 la. La, la, la.
For Radio Expeditions, I'm Christopher Joyce in the Upper Peninsula, Michigan.
Radio Expeditions is a co-production of NPR and the National Geographic Society. The stories were produced by Van Williamson. The engineer was Bill McQuay.